Low sign. I'm opening with All's Well.
Okay, Peter, let her go.
Down in Coronado by the sea, all's well. He'll go in, but let him rip, come all's well, all's well. There'll be love awaiting you down in Coronado by the sea, all's well. Rainbow at morning, the warning, all oceans gonna give us a fight. That's a sailor's delight. Go all eyes on a blue horizon. All's well, all's well. There are sunny skies of blue just for me and you down in Coronado by the sea.
Presenting that lusty leviathan of lackadaisical levity and laughter, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before coaxing back the zipper on our satchel of fun, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, says so many hostesses in the neighborhood have been complaining about their olives sinking in the drinks at cocktail parties that he's putting in a special martini olive. It's a plain olive stuffed with cork, so it has to float. Now, if you prefer the submarine olives for your drinks, Hodge is working on one now with a weighted pimento. So much for repeal accessories. And now for the town hall news. Say, Harry,
yes?
Confidentially, what is it that can touch the floor without bending its knees?
Oh, I know that one. The picture sheet, Fred. Here she comes.
Thank you. What happens when glowworms die, Harry?
Their lights go out. I get it. Here they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. Mayor LaGuardia promotes 75 street sweepers and urges Korea men to join New York street cleaning department. Will college men take up street cleaning? The question. Random snob, Yarvard professor says,
our graduates cannot consider careers in the New York street cleaning department. The college football team proved that Yarvard backs were weak. Weak backs and street cleaning do not mix. It's putting the Magna Carta before the horse.
Phil Straper, veteran street cleaner, is pessimistic.
I spent the best years of my life pushing a broom, and I don't mean Haywood. I don't see no future for a boulevard technician. I started on 10th Avenue with a scoop and shovel. Today I'm working Park Avenue with a tea wagon and a whisk broom. It's dainty but embarrassing.
Town Hall News shows educational problems rural families can expect if American youth turns to street cleaning for Korea. The scene, a New Hampshire farmhouse.
Come in, Pop. Take your skis off.
Wait till I stop puffing, Ma. I run from the bank clear to home. But I got the money safe into my stocking.
Oh, I hate to mortgage the old farm, Pa. But our boy Roscoe's got to get a college education.
Now, where is Roscoe?
Upstairs, deciding what profession he wants to study. Here he comes.
Hello, Ma. Hiya, Pa.
Well, Roscoe?
Decided what you're going to be, son?
Yeah, Pa. Ain't going in for law nor medicine.
Now, you ain't aiming to take up no saxophony.
Nope, I ain't going to Yale. I ain't going to any college.
Now, you can't learn no profession unless you go to college, Roscoe.
Yeah, Ma's right, son. Now, what racket you going into?
I'm
going
to become a street cleaner.
What?
Yeah, Mayor LaGuardia wants career men, and I'm going to make street cleaning my life's work.
Street cleaning ain't no profession. It's a pursuit.
You'll be proud of me, Ma, when I come home a B.M.
A B.U.M., you mean, don't you?
Hush, Pa. What's B.M., Roscoe?
Bachelor of Manholes.
Well, May as well take this mortgage money out of my stocking.
Well, I won't need it, Paul.
Turning the money back to the bank, Paul?
Nope, I'm buying me a herd of horses.
Horses? For what?
Well, if Roscoe loses his job in the city, he'll have a career back onto the farm.
Poughkeepsie, New York. Vassar College adds new course to permit girl students to study crime. Town Hall News shows how Vassar Crime Class will probably appear when new course gets underway. The scene, a study hall at Vassar.
Quiet, girls! Quiet! As your dean, it gives me an academic thrill to present the new instructor for our crime call, Professor Louis No Lips McGee. Professor McGee.
That's all right, straight. Now, in this series, I'm going to prove to you, Miles, that crime don't pay. For me first lecture, I'm showing you, James, how to protect yourselves during an ordinary street holdup, or stick-up, to use the technical term. Thank you. Now, to demonstrate the holdup, I got two of me friends here to come down and run through a stick-up. Just kidding. Introducing Molly Duran. Come on out, Molly.
Thanks, Doyle. Like Professor McGee says, I just flew in to put on an act. My racket's shoplifting, but I'll do the best I can.
Okay, Molly. Now, girls, presenting Waffles Joseph. Waffles gonna stick up Molly like I said before. Give Waffles a little hand, girls. Okay, Waffles.
Hiya, Chippy. I ain't seen so much femininity since I accidentally stepped on a burglar alarm in the YW.
Well, here's the scene, girls. Molly is walking down the street. She's accosted by a mug. Now, watch her technicule.
Where you going, cutie?
Handsome is as handsome does, bum.
Stick him up, charmer.
I don't take no taffy from strangers, bud.
Well, take this.
I thought so. A cheap yegg. Take this.
Oh!
That's all there is to it, Goyles, and thank you for your kind attention.
You see, Goyles, Molly is wearing a steel beret. You can bust her on the conk all night and she won't feel nothing. You can see Waffles is out cold. Molly slugged him with a cast-iron chrysanthemum she was wearing for a fake corsage. Now, them's two things you Vassar girls has got to learn. Wear a steel beret and always carry an iron chrysanthemum on. Next week, my lecture will be The College Girl and a Second Story Waker. Should she ask him in?
New York City, New York. Local banks are speeding up a nationwide drive to place commercial loans. Loan scouts scour the country in effort to put idle money back to work. Town Hall News shows prominent banker trying to persuade small businessman to expand.
Hot chestnut, get some Wilder hot.
How much, mister?
10 cents a bag, sir.
Give me a bag for Papa.
One bag, kitty?
Yep, Papa wants chestnuts with worms.
With worms?
Yes, he's going fishing tomorrow.
Okie pokie. Here we are. Here's two worms extra.
Oh, thanks, Papa. Oh,
hot chestnut, get your vitamin wee.
Hello, Olson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Kale. Hot business in the bank?
Not so hot, Olson.
Just like my chestnut.
You see, the bank can't lend its money, Olson. Businessmen won't borrow.
That's too bad by Yorch.
Olson, you businessmen have got to expand. Look at you with this cheap tin whistle.
Well, it gets me to business.
Why, if you'd let the bank lend you $50, you could put a siren on this stand. People would know you were selling chestnuts a mile away.
Get your chestnuts.
Crowds would buy. You'd need a store. Take $1,000, Olson. Rent a store.
Hot chestnuts. Get them hurt.
Why, Olson, you haven't scratched the surface of the chestnut business yet. Take $10,000.
Chestnuts. Try a bag.
Take $50,000. We'll paint Olson's chestnut signs on both sides of the Normandy. We'll get the China Clipper to fly a Goodwill chestnut to Mussolini.
They're all hot, hot chestnuts.
We'll give you $100,000 if you'll expand. $100,000, Olson. What's your answer?
Not hot chestnut. Get some hot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand from my spies, who are few but competent, that every once in a while, radio programs have advertising announcements. Some folks listen to them, some folks say they don't. But I've managed to clap my butterfly net over a man who not only listens to announcers, but he even talks back to them. Let me show you what I mean. Introducing Mr. John Byrd.
Hello, folks.
And here's Harry Von Zell. Now, Harry, you go ahead and don't say that I didn't warn you.
Okay, Fred.
Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're feeling dull and logy...
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Yes, you're right, Mr. Bird, and why not? That half-sick feeling is very apt to come to you. So when it does, it's mighty comforting to have learned what's really wrong.
All right, I'll bite. What's wrong?
Usually two things, my friend. Poisonous waste in your body and too much acid throughout your system. Two things you ought to get after right away.
I knew there was a catch to it. Now I'm supposed to rush out to the drugstore and buy a couple of different kinds of medicine, huh?
Oh, no. Just one. Sal Hepatica. Because Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that does two things, not just one. It both rids your body of waste and combats acidity.
That's what you say.
Of course I do, because that's what physicians have been saying about Sal Hepatica for more than 40 years. I'm only giving you perfectly honest, helpful advice. The next time you feel dull and under the weather, just put two teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. See for yourself how quickly you're feeling alert, alive, and your old, normal self again.
Say, what's that name again?
Sal Hepatica. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health.
Ipana Troubadours playing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. A fine thing when they're supposed to be musicians. Now, on Friday night, the Eureka Stamp Club will meet here at the hall. Professor Meredith, that eminent collector, will give his stereopticon lecture entitled How I Put Out a Forest Fire with Stamps. On Saturday... Quiet, quiet, please. Now, if that's some tennis player trying out a subdued racket, I'll be down there and there'll be no love lost either.
Hello.
Well, sir. Well, sir, as I live and try to talk with this gardenia I'm wearing in my mouth until the buttonhole in my coat lapel is fixed... If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Papa's in a temper at home, so I came over to wait till he cools off.
Really? What's he mad about?
Well, some tailors got together in New York and picked out the 10 best-dressed men in America, and Papa's name wasn't on the list.
Does your father think he's a Beau Brummel? Beau as in hobo?
I'll say he looks pretty snappy when he's dressed up.
If your father looked any baggier, you'd have to keep him in a luggage shop window.
Is that so? Did you ever see Papa in a blue serge suit?
I've seen him in lint. I've never looked far enough into the lint to come to Papa and the blue serge.
Well, he set plenty of styles.
What styles? You mean because he starches his socks so they'll stay up without garters?
Papa originated suede gloves with asbestos thumbs so men could smoke cigarettes shorter.
Oh, fie. He's so sloppy, he ought to carry a mop handle for a cane.
Oh, you can laugh, but Papa cut the top off an old union suit and made the first mess jacket.
I know, I saw your mother using the legs of that same union suit for opera gloves.
Well, I don't see how they can call Fred Astaire well-dressed and not count Papa.
Why, Fred Astaire has done more for tails than Darwin.
Maybe, but I'll bet Papa looks hotter in a smoking jacket.
Summing up, I might say, Papa may be a dude to you, but I've seen better-dressed men picketing rummage sales.
Wait till I tell him.
I'll wait right here. You can run along and break my opinion to him.
Oh, I get it. You'll find out.
Oh, will I?
Mr. Shyster! Mr. Shyster!
Oh, Shyster, am I
ready for a hot nanny-nanny and a habeas corpus?
Now, wait a minute, boys. Portland only called one of you birds. Which one is Shyster?
I'm Shyster.
They're partners, Mr. Allen.
Yes. We each own 50% of the business, so I can talk as much as he can.
You don't have to talk at the same time, do you?
They're lawyers, Mr. Allen. You can't stop lawyers from talking.
We have a silent partner. He keeps quiet for both of us, by appointment.
This is Treadwell Shyster, Mr. Allen, and this is Forsyth Shyster. They're freelancing for clients.
I don't need a lawyer to mind my own business, do I?
If you're leading a double life, one of you should have a lawyer.
Now listen, will you guys dissolve partnership and talk separately? It sounds as though I'm in conference with Jekyll and Hyde here. Hey, where are you going?
Back to the office. I'm ruined.
What's up, Treadwell?
The safe. I left the safe open at the office.
What are you worried about? You're both here, aren't you?
Yes, cool off, Treadwell. Tell Mr. Allen about some of the cases you've won.
Oh, there are so many cases.
Why don't you two ambulance gulls go find the nearest tavern and see if you can pass the bar?
Why, that's slander, Allen. I'll sue you for plenty.
I'll take your case, Allen. We may as well get right down to my retainer. Got a cigarette?
Now, wait a minute. I'm a witness.
You're subpoenaed.
Watch their language, you. There's a lady present.
I object.
Quiet. You can make that slander liable in a minute because I'm liable to measure you guys for two sets of Ubangi lower lips.
Why, we're giving the fastest legal service in town, Allen.
You mean your clients are convicted on the way to court?
No. Why, last week, one of our clients fell out of a window on the 22nd floor.
We saw him pass our office on the 14th.
What did you do, lean out and pick his pockets?
Why, before he reached the ground, I had settled with the building.
And I was retained by the widow to try and collect the money from my partner.
Gosh, that's some service.
Now, if you could give me the same kind of service vacating the premises...
I'm giving you one last chance to retain us, Allen.
A lawyer's like an umbrella. You can't tell when you'll need one.
Mr. Allen never breaks any law.
I'm ready to break the law of gravity and hit the ceiling right now.
Now let me show you how we handle a case. Suppose you're arrested for spitting on the sidewalk. Your case comes up in the magistrate's court.
I'll be the magistrate.
Your Honor, this man...
2 years at hard labor.
Don't worry, Allen. I appeal and take you to a higher court.
I'll be the judge again.
Your Honor, my client...
10 years, Leavenworth.
Well, it looks bad, Allen, but I take you to a still higher court.
I'm another judge.
Your Honor...
Life imprisonment, sing sing.
I appeal again. Notice how I work.
Yes, I notice how you work. I've drooled on the sidewalk, and I'm getting life here.
Oh, not yet. I go still higher. I take you to the Supreme Court.
That's good, Mr. Allen. If a chicken can beat the NRA in the Supreme Court, you can't lose.
No, but the chicken didn't have my lawyer.
Now, you watch me handle the Supreme Court, the highest court.
What is this case, the Teapot Dome scandal?
No, Your Honor. Board of Health versus Allen.
Expectorating on sidewalk. This is a Marine case. You're in the wrong court, Shyster.
Keep your robe on, Judge.
That's contempt of court. 10 years, Shyster. Allen, you're dismissed.
Gee, that's swell, Mr. Allen.
And that is Shyster service. The client always goes free.
Even if we have to go to jail.
That's fine.
Did you hear that, Forsyth?
An ambulance. What are we waiting for?
Let's go.
Gosh, they certainly left in a hurry, didn't they?
Yes, and I hope you'll take the hint. Goodbye, Portland.
Tally-ho!
Thank you. And now those old vocal veterinarians, the Town Hall Quartet, arrive on the stage in full harness to sing Mrs. Astor's Horse.
A lady friend of Mrs. Astor weighs 300 pounds. She'd love to borrow the Astor horse so she can follow the hound. She phones the stable daily, and every time she tries, the groom in charge who loves the horse very politely replies, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today, me lady. I can't understand why he won't eat a bloomin' oak.
How how disgusting.
Mrs. Astor's horse is a very hoarse horse today. Me lighting.
There's tears in his eyes. There must be a fog in his throat.
Oh, absurd, my good man.
I walk the floor with him all night. He has my nerves a wreck. Mrs. Astor may not think it right. I wrap me sock around the horse's neck. If you are a horse, you believe me when I say, me lighty, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today, me lighty. He's quite indisposed and he can't be approached at all.
You know, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very bored horse today, lighty.
Now listen to him. Wouldn't that break your bloomin' heart, lady? And he's turned up his nose at the lounge that I put in his stall.
I tempted him with Brussels sprouts upon a silver pan,
but he stuck his tongue right out at me.
Oh, so very unbecoming to the Blue Blood Clan.
Quite right. He may be himself in a day or two, but not right now, me lady.
Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today.
I say. How much did you say the madam weighs?
Why, sir, she weighs 300 pounds.
Oh, what ripping judgment that horsey shows in refusing to follow the hounds.
Righto. If you were a horse, you'd believe me when I say, me lighty, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today.
Cheerio.
Good day.
Just back the horse back into the barn. Thank you. And now for the news about the quickest contest in the world, folks. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody wins. Tell the folks about it, Harry.
All right, Fred. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a little problem and then give you 3 seconds to answer it. Are you ready? All right, here's the problem. What's missing in this picture? A young lady is in a store. She has just ordered a lipstick, rouge, mascara, face cream, and powder. The caption beneath the picture reads, "That will be all, thank you." The puzzle, what's missing? Time. Time's up. The contest is over. Now, did you guess what's missing? All right, I'll tell you. Ipana toothpaste. Because all the makeup in the world won't make you attractive if you're neglecting your teeth and have an unattractive smile. Now, if any of you guessed Ipana because you use it, then I know you already have your prize. Healthier gums and whiter, brighter teeth. If you haven't used Ipana, the very next time you're out of toothpaste, try it. Notice how fresh and tingling your mouth feels, how much cleaner and brighter your teeth begin to get. And if you'll massage a little Ipana into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it, it won't be long before you begin to notice how much firmer and healthier your gums are, too. So remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the Mighty Allen Art Players. Those well-known troopers who started their careers on a shoestring and wound up in a hole. Tonight, these unstrung puppets present an amazing mystery melodrama entitled The Case of the Disappearing Elephant, or The Nostril is Quicker Than the Eye. Overture, Peter.
Calling Detective One Long Pan. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Big Bertha, Sacred Elephant of India, stopping at Ritz Hotel, threatened by kidnappers. Calling One Long Pan. Proceed at once, Ritz Hotel. Pawing one canned lung, panning one long pun. Punning one long can.
Who's there?
Come.
Greetings, gentlemen. I have One Long Pan.
Yeah. I'm the hotel manager. We do our own laundry.
No, not here for one day service. I am Detective One Long Pan, Secret Service, G-Man, Undercover Man, Fi Cop.
Oh, Mr. Pan, I am Mohammed Bayram. I sent for you to protect my elephant.
Yeah, the elephant is stopping here at my hotel.
You mean elephant beating hotel bill, trying to put trunk out window?
No, Long Pan, this is serious. Today I received this kidnap note. My elephant is in danger. Read this.
Give it once over, White Ray. Quote, "We want $100,000 cold cash or we kidnap your elephant. Do not notify police or we will kill her. Regards to wife and kiddies." Unquote.
If they steal the royal sacred elephant, my Maharaja is ruined.
Oh, that is so foolish. They cannot steal that great big elephant.
Ah, yes. Expert criminal can steal elephant. Make two trips. Where are you keeping elephant?
She's upstairs. Come, you'll see. Yeah. This way to the elevator.
She is in room 1602, top floor. Yeah.
Going up, Mr. Schultz.
Step inside, please.
Thank you.
Floors, please.
16.
First up, 16. 16, top floor. Let him out, please.
1602 is this way. How could anybody steal an elephant?
Maybe just democratic propaganda.
I cannot take any chances. Here is 1602. I will open it. Ah, here is Bertha. Is she not beautiful?
Big Bertha, very strong and very beautiful, too. But very strong and very beautiful in that order.
You think I should pay the 100,000, Inspector?
No, you pay nothing.
But I am worried.
Quiet, Bertha. One long pan, inspect walls and floors. Look for a trap door. No, everything solid. Floor, wall, ceiling, okay. No danger. Everything hussy-tussy.
Come in.
Telegram from Mohammed Bey Rum.
I will take it. Thank you. Oh, I am afraid.
Afraid telegram is correct? Read it.
Mohammed Bey Rum, you have informed the police. It will cost you 200,000 or your elephant will disappear. Love and kisses, you rat. Oh, what shall I do?
You leave elephant here. One long time, take full responsibility. Yeah, yeah.
Come, gentlemen, we go downstairs. I buy you all a drink.
Oh, wait, I will lock the door.
Going down, 16. Going down, Mr. Schultz.
Yeah, main floor.
Next up, main floor. Main floor, watch your step, please.
Wait, now we have a drink first. This way to the bar. What do you have, Inspector? It's on the house.
One along can have a cup of tea.
Tea with lemon?
No, tea with sirloin steak, french fried, and Brussels sprouts.
Then I got the gift to order with the chef. Wait, I'll be right back. This is a wild goose chase.
No, Wong Pan play trump card. No, goose is wild.
What are we doing here on the 17th floor?
Give me your key, Mohammed. One Wong Pan solve mystery.
Here.
Bertha is in this room.
Oh, hurry, open the door. Bertha! Allah be praised, Bertha is safe.
Excuse, please, I got to go.
No, you stop, Schultz. One Wong Pan arrest you for stealing elephant. Pay larceny.
Why, it's outrage. I know nothing about it.
But how did she get up here on the 17th floor?
She was here all time. Schultz, how many floors is this hotel?
Why, 17.
Oh, you big fibber, Schultz. First time we come up, only 16th floor. You eliminate 13th floor tonight. Make extra floor.
Then you got me with the goods down. Yeah, you're right, Inspector. I done it. We could never rent out a room on floor 13. So beginning the night, we skip a floor.
You'll call 13th floor, 14, 14, 15, 15.
But 1602, it's the same number as downstairs.
Yeah, the new number isn't painted on all the doors yet, so there's two 16th floors.
But why should you steal my elephant, Schultz?
Hotel business, very bad. If you pay your ransom money, Schultz save from receivership.
Long Pen's right, Mohammed. I tried to save the hotel.
You'll keep hotel, Schultz. You still have white elephant on hand.
Inspector, you have saved my life and my Bertha. But how did you figure this out?
Yeah, the room downstairs is exactly like this one.
No, big difference, I assure you. You take a deep breath, gentlemen.
Free!
You catch on? Thank you. The mighty Alan Artlers, having finished for the evening, and so to bed with them, as Samuel Pepys was wont to say.
Say, speaking of Pepys, Fred, how would you like to hear a page from a young lady's diary?
What has eavesdropping on a young lady's diary got to do with Pepys, Harry?
Well, now, while she reads her diary, everyone in the audience sort of peeps. You get it, Fred?
Yes, I do.
Well, then listen.
Dear diary, I have a confession to make. I love him, but he hasn't even given me a tumble. I smiled my very nicest at him, and nothing happened.
Oh, I wish all my friends looked like witches, and I might have a chance.
Darn it, why can't I look as attractive as they do when they smile?
Well, now, dear diary, if you will pardon me for taking the words right out of your book, I'm sure the young lady who confides in you could have an attractive smile if she tried taking care of her teeth intelligently, thoroughly. Your dentist, for instance, will tell you this.
Teeth are seldom white and lustrous if your gums are flabby and tender. And most of the foods we eat nowadays are too soft to give our gums the exercise they need.
That's why we urge you to massage a little Ipana toothpaste into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it. For while you're cleaning and brightening your teeth, you can also tone and stimulate your gums. Two very important things. And Ipana toothpaste is made especially to do them both. So pink toothbrush, that warning sign of tender, flabby gums, needn't upset you if you get right after it with Ipana. And I know you'll have lovelier teeth if you do. So remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight continues immediately after your station announcement. Back in Town Hall, folks, and that was Sing Before Breakfast, played by Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours and sung by the Town Hall Quartet. Now here comes Fred Allen leading a new group of eager amateurs out on the stage for tonight's big amateur contest.
Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and while I think of it, I would like to say that, believe it or not, Thanks a Million is staying over a fourth week at the Radio Center Theater here in New York and opens Friday at the Aldi Theater in Brooklyn. And now we're getting back to the subject in hand. Tonight, our earnest entrants are here ready to compete for a first prize of $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City and a second prize of $25 in cash. The winners will be selected by you folks here in Town Hall. Your applause will be registered on the Johns Manville applause machine here on the stage. And the three acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later so that you may select your final winners. And now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, first we welcome Buddy Orlando. Is that right, Buddy?
That's right, Mr. Allen.
And you have trekked all the way over from Brooklyn?
That's right.
Are you you're a tenor singer, aren't
That's
you?
That's right.
Tenor singer, and you live in Brooklyn?
Right.
You don't live around Greenpoint, do you?
No,
I didn't think so. It isn't very safe for a tenor around Greenpoint, from what I've heard. I guess there are parts of Brooklyn where a tenor is all right, but I can't think of them offhand. What business are you engaged in, Buddy?
I'm in the dress cutters business.
Oh, are you really? You cut women's dresses?
That's right.
Say, gosh, the way things are going, there isn't much work left for you these days, is there?
Oh, not at all.
There isn't a great deal left to cut. It's really unfortunate. I don't know what the finish is going to be, especially for moth. Conditions in the world of the moth, in mothdom today are really upsetting. I was in a house last week and saw two houseflies helping a moth out of a clothes closet. The moth was so weak from it was undernourished in the lady's clothes closet in the house. I don't know if clothes get any skimpier. Moths will have to learn to eat meat. That's all there is to it. Well, Buddy, what are you going to sing for it?
Oh, Mr. Allen, I would like to sing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
What nationality?
Italian.
And you're going to sing When
Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
I get it. Well, you go right ahead. Thank you.
When
eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring in the little Irish laughter. You can hear the angels sing when Irish hearts are happy. All the world seems bright and gay, and when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
Thank you, that was swell. That was Buddy Orlando from Brooklyn. We're off to a flying start. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to have you meet Miss Lillian Halpern, also from Brooklyn. Is that right, Miss Halpern?
That's right, Mr. Allen.
Do you know Buddy who just sang?
No, sir.
He also lives in Brooklyn. It's strange. Well,
it's a large place.
No, I guess it isn't a small world after all as far as Brooklyn's concerned, is it? And you do impersonations, do you?
Yes, sir.
Vocal impersonations, are they?
No, they're dialect.
Oh, dialect?
Yes.
What people do you endow? Who?
Lou Holtz, Henry Almeida, George Gillett, Cecil Mack.
Oh, you run the gamut, as it were. You don't impersonate the wild animals or beasts in the forest, things
no,
like that.
Not lions, yet.
Lions, tigers. Well, you'll probably get around to that later on when you run out of... Celebrities are dwindling with such rapidity that you'll get down to lions and tigers in a couple of more years. I had enough. You don't impersonate the elusive hippopotamus, do you? Or the hippopotami? Is that right? The plural of hippopotamus?
I wouldn't know.
I don't. I only know one hippopotamus, you see, and I never got around to the plural of the thing. I had an uncle who used to. Is quite an animal mimic. You couldn't tell him. I mean, if you were in a zoo, except for the cages, you couldn't tell but what he belonged right in the place there. He moved over to Brooklyn to get nearer to animal life, to the zoo there. He lived right across the street from the zoo and finally had to move. He had a penthouse right across from the zoo in Brooklyn, and it got so tiresome there, giraffes sticking their heads in the window all day long, that he finally moved out. Well, I shan't take up any more of your time, Miss Halpern, and... You list the impersonations as you go along.
Well, time doesn't permit to do all of them, so for tonight, I'd like to do Lou Holtz and a bit of Henry Almeida.
You mean the time is fleeting to the point where we can't have Barrymore?
That's the general idea.
Well, let's stop the clock. Now you go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How do you do? How do you do? Tonight is the night of nights. Tonight, I have the pleasure of introducing to you, you understand me? That great comedian, that star of stars, none other than my good friend, Mr. Henry Almeida. I didn't come to say hello, and I didn't come to say goodbye. I'm going to come back in a half an hour. In the meantime, I want you to meet to my Tony Segura. She's gonna do for you what I could not do for you. I'm the only one who sings the diner and don't make me mad. Okay, sing. Diner, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there isn't, you know her, won't you show her to me, poor Dinah? With her Dixie eyes blazing, how I love sitting gazing to the eyes of Dinah Lee. I say that every night, why do I shake with fright? Because my dynamite, sing her mind about me. Dinah, should you wander to China, I would hop in ocean liner, yeah, to be with my Fidina Lee.
Miss Lillian Halpern of Brooklyn. Thank you very much, Miss Halpern. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Philip Oster of New York City. Mr. Oster has rather a quaint... Would you rather stand on this sign? Mr. Oster has a quaint-looking instrument here he's brought to the microphone. You're not a brother elk on the loose, by the... It's sort of an antler. What is that, Mr. Oster?
It is a real steer's horn.
A steer's horn? Is it really? Is that what the steer uses in traffic? I wonder how the steer grows those keys and things on the shot. You've taken a steer's horn, in other words, and made it into sort of a saxophone, is it?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Quite interesting. I often wonder. That at least will settle one problem for efficiency men. What to do with a steer's horn. You know, the efficiency men have discovered what they should do with about every other part of the animal, the beef tongue right down to the oxtail, and even the hoofs they use for certain things. And now that you have found something to do with a steer's horn, I would say the millennium is upon us. But you play that? What sort of a tone do you get on it?
Well, something like a saxophone, a little sweeter, I think.
A little sweeter than the saxophone. Well, what are you going to play for it? I'm interested to hear how this sounds.
Gabriel's horn march.
Gabriel's horn march. Are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
And your son is going to play the piano for you, huh?
Yes, sir.
You're in key and everything? Mr. Oster is going to play Gabriel's horn march on a genuine steer's horn, which he has turned into a sort of a saxophone. Go right ahead. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was certainly surprised at the tone you managed to coax out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a genuine steer's horn. It's really excellent. You certainly fooled me. How do you keep that in tune now? If you go flat, do you have to rush down to the stockyards to see if you're in tune with it? Well, it's all right. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present Mrs. Ruth Summers, also of Brooklyn. Is that right?
I'm from Chicago, sir.
From Chicago, yes. Are you really?
Yes.
Well, Uncle Jim has such a poor sense of direction. He has you marked down for Brooklyn here.
I'm staying with my aunt in Brooklyn.
So. Oh, are you? Yes, well, he was partly right, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to sing for us. First, you know, Uncle Jim told me that you would come from Minneapolis.
Well, that's my home.
Oh.
But I'm working in Chicago.
Say, if you live in Minneapolis and Chicago and stay with your aunt in Brooklyn, practically, the best years of your life will be given up to just living, won't
That's
it?
Right.
Getting around to these different places. I like, which of the three places do you like best? Minneapolis, Chicago, or Brooklyn?
Minneapolis.
I like it very much, too. Minneapolis is an old, it's an old Indian name, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, very much so.
Minnie for water and Polis for a man who used to have a circuit of... No, that's Polis. That was Polis. Minnie for water and Polis for city. Isn't that right?
That's right, sir.
The city of water. I know they have a great many Indian names up there.
Yes, sir.
The Minnehaha Falls, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Aren't they?
Yes, sir.
I know Minnie. The Minnie part is for Minneapolis, the water, and the ha-ha is for St. Paul, of course.
I think so.
Well, Mrs. Summers, we're very happy to have you here tonight. And what would you like to sing?
My Darling.
Well, I don't know. If you just wait till my blush dies away, I'll convey the news to the pianist. My darling, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
My darling, say you're mine tonight. My darling, you're divine tonight. Your kiss is all I'm dreaming of.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Summers. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Mr. John Wagner of Vineland, New Jersey. Is that right, Mr. Wagner?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wagner is here with overalls on and sort of an Uncle Sam. That's not your real beard, is it?
Oh.
My eyes are getting so bad lately, I can't tell what's going on around here. Are you really a farmer? Or is it,
I am.
In Vineland?
Yes, sir.
What sort of a farm do you have? Chicken farm?
Chicken farm, yes.
Chicken farm, do you really?
700 chickens.
700 chickens?
Yes, sir.
What are you getting for eggs now?
Oh, very little.
Very little?
40 cents for the big ones and 30 cents for the medium ones and 27 for the pullets.
For the pullets, I see. You haven't any eggs with you, have you?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
I
intended to bring some along, but my suitcase was packed too much. They would have been cracked.
I didn't think you had. Something tells me if anyone here in the town hall had an egg tonight, I would have gotten it long before. And you are a barnyard impersonator, Mr. Wagner?
Yes, sir.
Well, you go right ahead. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you city folks know what's going on the farm? I'll tell you. You want plenty of eggs? You need plenty of... You also have some for your milk supply. You have a or one or two. You want your smoked ham on the table? You just raise it. You catch it. You got it. For your plowing and hoeing, you need a. And for washing them all, you need a... But all those animals have to be housed. So you have to play carpenter and you use a... In our Hickstown paper, we see so much about those big steamers. You know, those ocean liners. I saw one today. They blow like that. Well, folks, I'm sorry. I have to leave you now. And I have to make my train. All aboard!
John Wayne. Wagner, Wagner of Vineland, New Jersey. Thank you very much, Mr. Wagner. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet four boys, the Garden City Quartet. Is that right, boys? Would two of you rather stand on this side of the microphone? Is that all right for you? All right. I just want you all to get a good look at me. And if you can... if the quartet eventually catches on and you get into radio, this is what you look like, boys, about 10 years from now. Nice and baggy and worried. The Garden City Quartet from Newark. Are all the boys from Newark?
No, sir. We're from different towns.
Oh, are you?
Right on.
What town?
Rahway, Bloomfield, Newark.
Rahway?
Right.
Oh, Rahway. That's the town was put on the map last week. That fella from the lunchroom who went out and helped Dartmouth or Princeton during the... Wasn't that the game? I'd hate to eat in that lunch wagon. You go in for a plate of beans, you'd get tackled before you got by the first stool in there. Well, all right, boys, what are you going to sing?
Mandalay.
All right. Oh, Mandalay, excuse me. The Garden City Quartet singing Mandalay. Thank you.
Mandalay, I love you. Dear, I do, my Mandalay. Your eyes, they shine like diamonds. Love to me, oh, love to me. Seems as though my heart would break without you, Mandalay. Cause I love you, Mandalay, I do, my Seems as though my heart would break without you, Mandalay. Cause I love you, Mandalay, I do, my Mandalay.
Thank you very much. That was the Garden State Quartet. Edgar Green, Paul Staggett, Bob Bain, and Harold Von Schoik. Thank you very much, boys. And that concludes tonight's amateur contest, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I have a heart-to-heart talk with the applause machine, I'm going to ask Harry to reach in his bag of vocal whimsies and pull out a few words. Harry.
All right, Fred.
We are happy to be able to bring you Town Hall tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we sincerely hope that this program leaves you a little happier. In return, won't you remember the two products that make these evenings with Fred Allen possible? Ipana toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. And now I see that Fred is still in conference with the Johns Manville machine, so let's all go into a huddle ourselves and see what Peter Van Steeden has to play. Okay, Peter. Okay, Peter. All right, you got the results there, Fred?
Yes, Fred. Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts: Mrs. Ruth Summers, Lillian Halpern, and Buddy Orlando. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his chubby pink paddy over the over the heads of these boy and girls. And as I call the names, you may applaud once again, if you will, please, and select your winners. Are you ready, Harry?
Okay, Fred.
Now, first, ladies and gentlemen, the young lady who gave us the excellent impersonations and sang Dinah, the young lady from Brooklyn, Miss Lillian Halpern. Next, the boy from Brooklyn, the Italian tenor who sang When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, Buddy Orlando. And next, the young lady who lives in Minneapolis, Chicago, and Brooklyn, who sang My Darling, Mrs. Ruth Summers. And what does the machine say, Harry? Thank you very much. Ah, these are the days of the machine when we could do things quicker ourselves, I'm afraid.
Okay, here we are.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the first prize, $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to Buddy Orlando with a decibel rating of 76. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Mrs. Ruth Summers, who sang My Darling, with a decibel rating of 74. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that you all couldn't win, but better luck next time. This is Fred Allen saying good night, ladies and gentlemen, and don't forget that the Town Hall doors will be open wide to greet you again next Wednesday night with another hour of smiles. Join us with Portland, the Mighty Allen Art Players, the Ipana Troubadours, the Town Hall Quartet, and another group of anxious and eager amateurs. This is Fred, spelled Ipana, Allen, spelled Salipatica, saying good night.
Collection All Well is from Coronado. No strings from Top Hat. This is the National Broadcasting Company.